Look at my hands, Henry. You're doing wonderfully.
Family?
Exactly. You have a voice, just a different one.
She sees him the way no one else...
What would you do if the quiet, unassuming estate manager watching your every move turned out to be the most powerful duke in England? This is the untold story of a woman who defied high society to protect a deaf boy, unknowingly stealing a disguised duke's heart in the process. The year was 1884, a time when the British aristocracy prized perfection above all else, and any deviation from the norm was hidden away behind heavy velvet curtains and locked mahogany doors. Genevieve Caldwell arrived at the sprawling Gothic gates of Westmoreland Abbey in Derbyshire with little more than a battered leather valise and a radical ideology. Genevieve was not a traditional governess. She had trained in Edinburgh under the disciples of Thomas Braidwood, pioneers of a controversial manual alphabet. It was a perilous time for the deaf community in Europe. Just 4 years prior, the infamous Milan Conference of 1880 had mandated oralism, forcing deaf children to read lips and speak while outright banning sign language. Those who could not speak were frequently deemed feeble-minded and relegated to asylums or the hidden wings of grand estates. Westmoreland Abbey was one such estate. It was the ancestral seat of the powerful House of Stirling, ruled by the fiercely private Daniel Stirling, the Duke of Westmoreland. But Genevieve was not here for the Duke, a man who spent his time in London's Parliament and high society clubs. She was here for his younger brother, Lord Henry. "You are to keep him quiet, Miss Caldwell, and you are to keep him out of sight," the stern housekeeper, Mrs. Gable, instructed as she led Genevieve through the echoing, marble-floored halls. The Duke pays handsomely for discretion. Lord Henry is an unfortunate burden. The previous tutor, Mr. Crane, found the boy entirely unteachable. Genevieve's jaw tightened. "There is no such thing as an unteachable child, Mrs. Gable. Only inflexible teachers." She was finally brought to a cold, sparsely furnished wing of the house. Sitting on a window seat, staring blankly out at the manicured gardens, was Lord Henry. He was 12 years old, pale, with a profound sadness in his dark eyes. A childhood bout of scarlet fever had stolen his hearing at the age of 4. Since then, he had lived in a world of absolute, isolating silence. What Genevieve did not know was that the Duke of Westmoreland was not in London. Daniel Stirling had quietly arrived at the Abbey at dawn. Exhausted by the sycophants of high society and deeply paranoid about the people he hired to care for his brother, Daniel had made a decision. He stripped off his tailored Savile Row suits, removed the heavy gold signet ring bearing the Westmoreland crest, and dressed in the rugged, simple tweeds of a working man. He intended to observe this new tutor closely. If she showed an ounce of the cruelty the previous tutor had exhibited, he would throw her off the estate himself. That afternoon, Genevieve took Henry into the walled garden. The boy was withdrawn, his hands shoved deeply into his pockets, conditioned by his previous tutor to hide his hands to prevent unsightly gesturing. From the shadows of the old stone colonnade, Daniel watched. He leaned against a pillar, a worn flat cap pulled low over his eyes. He expected the usual: a frustrated governess shouting at a deaf boy, treating him like an imbecile. Instead, Genevieve knelt in the damp grass, ruining her sensible wool skirt to bring herself to Henry's eye level. She didn't shout. She didn't force his mouth open to make him mimic sounds. Slowly, she reached out and tapped a rhythm on the wooden bench they sat on. Tap, 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 tap. Henry felt the vibration. He looked down, then up at her. Genevieve smiled a warm, radiant expression that caught Daniel entirely off guard. She raised her hands and began to move her fingers with fluid grace, spelling out a word. Then, she pointed to a nearby oak tree. Daniel held his breath. He had spent thousands of pounds on doctors who insisted Henry must be forced to speak or be locked away. Yet here was a woman, offering the boy a language of silence. When Genevieve struggled to open a heavy iron gate leading to the stables, Daniel saw his opportunity. He stepped out of the shadows. "Allow me, miss," Daniel said, his voice a low, rough baritone. He effortlessly pushed the rusted iron gate open. Genevieve looked up, startled but assessing. She took in his worn coat, his calloused hands artificially dirtied with saddle soap, and his piercing, intelligent gray eyes. "Thank you," she said briskly. "I am Genevieve Caldwell, the new tutor." "Daniel," he replied smoothly, offering only a slight nod rather than a bow. "Master of horse for the estate. I see you've met the young lord." "I have," Genevieve said, placing a protective hand on Henry's shoulder, "though I am appalled at how he has been treated by this household. His previous tutor was a barbarian, and the Duke," she scoffed, a sound of pure disdain. "The Duke is a coward." Daniel's heart slammed against his ribs. He blinked, masking his shock. "A coward, you say? To abandon a brilliant boy to the care of cold servants merely because he does not fit the mold of a perfect aristocratic brother?" Genevieve's eyes flashed with a fiery, righteous anger. "Yes, Daniel. The Duke of Westmoreland is a coward who cares more for his reputation than his own blood." Daniel looked at her, really looked at her. Her hair was windswept, her dress plain, but her spirit was a roaring fire. He had lived his entire life surrounded by people terrified to speak ill of him. And here was this beautiful, fierce woman, tearing his character to shreds to protect a boy she had only just met. He fell for her, instantly and terrifyingly. "Perhaps," Daniel murmured, keeping his head bowed to hide the smile tugging at the corner of his mouth. "Perhaps the Duke simply doesn't know any better. But I suspect, Miss Caldwell, you are just the woman to teach him." Over the next 3 weeks, a quiet revolution took place within the stone walls of Westmoreland Abbey. Genevieve completely discarded the oppressive oralist textbooks left behind by her predecessor. Instead, she turned the gloomy library into a sanctuary of expression. She taught Henry the manual alphabet, assigning a specific hand shape to every letter. Because the Braidwood method relied heavily on spelling, Genevieve introduced visual associations. She brought in leaves, stones, bird feathers, and even a live frog from the estate's pond, placing them on the antique mahogany tables to teach Henry the corresponding words. Daniel, maintaining his guise as the estate's master of horse, found every excuse imaginable to linger near the manor. He would repair the perfectly functioning hinges on the library doors, polish saddles near the garden windows, and prune roses he had no business touching. One brisk Tuesday afternoon, Daniel watched from the terrace as Genevieve and Henry sat by the grand fountain. Genevieve was teaching Henry the sign for water. She cupped her hand, bringing her fingers to her mouth, and then pointed to the cascading fountain. Henry hesitated. He looked at his own hands, trembling slightly, remembering the sharp ruler of Mr. Crane whenever he moved his fingers. Genevieve didn't push. She gently took Henry's hands in hers, her touch incredibly tender, and guided his fingers to form the shape. She splashed a bit of cold water onto his palm, smiled, and repeated the gesture. Suddenly, a breakthrough. Henry's face lit up with a sudden, profound understanding. He pointed eagerly to the fountain, then clumsily but definitively made the sign for water. Then he pointed to a puddle on the stones and signed water again. A sound erupted from Henry's throat, a rusty, breathless sound of pure joy. It was a laugh. Daniel, watching from the terrace, felt his breath catch. He gripped the stone balustrade so hard his knuckles turned white. He had not heard his brother laugh in 8 years. A lump formed in his throat, thick and painful, a mix of overwhelming relief and crushing guilt. Genevieve had been right. He had been a coward. He had hidden from his brother's pain because he felt powerless to fix it. Later that evening, Genevieve walked down to the stables to fetch an apple for Henry. She found Daniel leaning against a stall, a lantern casting warm, flickering shadows across his sharp jawline. He looked up, his eyes locking onto hers, with an intensity that made Genevieve's pulse skip an unfamiliar beat. "He laughed today," Daniel said softly, his voice devoid of the gruff, working-class accent he usually affected. Genevieve paused, surprised by the raw emotion in the stablemaster's tone. "You saw?" "I see a great deal, Miss Caldwell." Daniel took a step closer. The scent of hay, leather, and something distinctively refined, perhaps sandalwood soap, odd for a stable hand, drifted toward her. "What you are doing for the boy, it is a miracle." "It is not a miracle, Daniel," Genevieve replied, leaning against the wooden post, acutely aware of how close he was standing. "It is simply patience, and treating him like a human being rather than a broken antique." She sighed, crossing her arms against the evening chill. "I only dread the day the Duke returns. From what Mrs. Gable tells me, His Grace intends to send Henry to an asylum in Switzerland if I fail to make him presentable for society." Daniel winced. He had, in his darkest moments of despair and under the heavy advice of his aristocratic peers, signed papers to look into the Swiss sanatorium. It was a shameful secret. "The Duke. He carries a heavy burden," Daniel offered carefully, testing the waters. "He is responsible for thousands of lives on this estate. Perhaps he is simply misguided by the doctors of London." Genevieve fixed him with a sharp, uncompromising stare. "A title does not excuse cruelty, Daniel. You seem like a good man. You work with beasts all day. You know that a frightened animal requires a gentle hand, not a whip. Why is it that the Master of Horse understands empathy better than the Duke of Westmoreland?" Daniel let out a low, breathy chuckle, though his eyes were completely serious. He reached out, his fingers lightly brushing a piece of stray hay from the sleeve of her woolen dress. The touch sent a jolt of electricity straight through Genevieve's veins. "Perhaps," Daniel murmured, his gaze dropping momentarily to her lips before meeting her eyes again. "The Duke is learning his lesson as we speak. Because of you." Genevieve swallowed hard. There was an undeniable magnetism between them. She was a pragmatic woman, a tutor with no family and no fortune. Yet when she looked at this rough-hewn estate worker, she felt completely seen. "I should get the apple," she whispered, her voice trembling slightly. "Allow me," Daniel said. He turned and retrieved a polished red apple from a barrel, handing it to her. As their fingers brushed, he held her gaze. "Do not fear the Duke, Genevieve. I promise you, no harm will come to Henry as long as I am here." It was a bold promise for a servant to make, but the sheer authority in his voice made Genevieve believe him entirely. The fragile peace of Westmoreland Abbey was shattered 3 days later by the arrival of a gilded carriage bearing the crest of the Earl of Penhaligon. Out stepped Lady Victoria Hastings, a woman whose beauty was matched only by her towering arrogance. Lady Victoria was society's top choice to become the next Duchess of Westmoreland. Though no formal engagement had been announced, she operated under the assumption that the Abbey, the Duke, and everything within its borders was already hers. Victoria had come under the guise of preparing the estate for the Duke's rumored return for the annual autumn hunt. In reality, she was there to assert her dominance. From her bedroom window, Genevieve watched the commotion of the arrival. She felt a deep sense of dread. The aristocratic world was inherently hostile to anomalies, and Henry was a glaring one. The clash occurred inevitably on a brisk Thursday afternoon in the grand drawing room. Genevieve was teaching Henry history, using a series of hand-drawn cards depicting English monarchs, when the heavy oak doors swung open. Lady Victoria swept into the room, flanked by Mrs. Gable and her personal maid. "What is the meaning of this?" Victoria demanded, her piercing gaze sweeping over the flashcards and the dirty boots Henry wore. She pressed a scented handkerchief to her nose as if the very air were offensive. Why is the affliction out of his rooms? Genevieve stood up immediately, placing herself between Henry and the socialite. Henry, unable to hear the words but deeply sensitive to the aggressive body language, shrank back into his armchair. Lord Henry is having his afternoon lessons, Lady Victoria, Genevieve said evenly, keeping her chin high. Lessons? Victoria let out a sharp, mocking laugh. You cannot teach a stone to sing, Miss Caldwell. I was told the Duke hired a governess to keep him contained, not to indulge his madness. She narrowed her eyes at Henry's hands, which were moving rapidly as he signed, Who? Bad? To Genevieve. Stop that hideous flapping at once, Victoria snapped, stepping forward and raising her ivory-handled parasol as if to strike the boy's hands. Do not touch him, Genevieve's voice rang out like a gunshot. She stepped forcefully into Victoria's path, her eyes blazing with an unyielding fury. Lord Henry is communicating. It is a language. Something far beyond your narrow comprehension. If you ever raise a hand to him, I will see you thrown from this estate. Victoria gasped, her face turning a mottled red. You impudent wretch. I am the future Duchess of Westmoreland. I will have you dismissed without a character reference. I will have you ruined. Then ruin me. Genevieve countered coldly. But you will not touch this child. Unbeknownst to both women, Daniel was standing in the doorway. He had heard the commotion from the hallway and had arrived just in time to witness Genevieve throwing herself into the path of danger for his brother. His blood boiled with a rage so potent it nearly blinded him. He wanted to step forward, to strip away his disguise right then and there, and banish Victoria from his lands forever. He wanted to scream his identity and wrap Genevieve in silk and gold. But if he revealed himself now, the deception would be exposed. Genevieve would realize he had lied to her for weeks. She would look at him not as Daniel the ally, but as the cowardly Duke she despised. Instead, Daniel stepped into the room, keeping his head slightly lowered, projecting the deferential posture of a servant. Forgive the intrusion, my lady, Daniel said smoothly, his eyes flashing a dangerous warning as he looked at Victoria. The head groom sent me to inform you that your prized mare has thrown a shoe. We require your immediate instruction in the stables. It was a blatant lie, but it worked. Victoria, momentarily distracted by her expensive horse, huffed in indignation. Useless, all of you. To the stables, then. She shot one last venomous look at Genevieve. We are not finished here, Miss Caldwell. The moment Daniel the Duke returns, you and this broken boy will be dealt with. As Victoria swept out of the room, the heavy silence returned. Henry was trembling. Genevieve immediately knelt beside him, signing, Safe. You are safe. Daniel stood in the doorway, his heart aching. He watched Genevieve soothe his brother, her own hands shaking slightly from the adrenaline of the confrontation. You took a terrible risk just now, Daniel said quietly, stepping fully into the room and closing the door behind him. Genevieve stood up, running a trembling hand through her hair. I don't care. I won't let her bully him. I don't care if she marries the Duke and fires me tomorrow. I will fight for him until the moment they drag me out. Daniel crossed the room in three long strides. The space between them vanished. He looked down at her, his facade cracking under the immense weight of his admiration and growing love. She will not fire you, Daniel said, his voice thick with an emotion he could no longer suppress. And she will never be the Duchess of Westmoreland. I swear it to you. Genevieve looked up into his steely gray eyes. How can you possibly promise that, Daniel? You are just a man of the estate. Because I am the estate, Daniel thought desperately. Instead of speaking, Daniel reached out. He gently took her trembling hand in his. He brought her knuckles to his lips, pressing a soft, lingering kiss against her skin. It was an incredibly intimate, utterly inappropriate gesture for a stable master to make to a governess. Yet, Genevieve did not pull away. Her breath hitched, and the fire in her eyes melted into something soft, vulnerable, and dangerously deep. "Trust me, Genevieve," he whispered against her skin. "The Duke is closer than you think, and he is entirely at your mercy." Genevieve stared at him, a sudden, confusing thrill running down her spine. The way he spoke, the authority he commanded, the uncalloused softness of the lips pressed against her hand. A small, terrifying seed of doubt planted itself in her mind. Who exactly was this man? And what game was being played in the shadows of Westmoreland Abbey? The crisp Derbyshire air crackled with anticipation as the annual autumn hunt descended upon Westmoreland Abbey. Overnight, the quiet, melancholic estate transformed into a bustling epicenter of British high society. Carriages adorned with aristocratic crests rolled up the sweeping gravel drive, discharging lords in tailored tweed and ladies wrapped in opulent furs. Among the guests was Sir William Dalby, a prominent and notoriously ruthless oral surgeon from London. Lady Victoria Hastings had personally invited him, intending to have Lord Henry declared officially incurable and unmanageable, the legal prerequisite required to quietly deport the boy to a Swiss asylum before her anticipated wedding to the Duke. Genevieve felt the hostile shift in the estate's atmosphere immediately. She confined Henry to the library, pulling the heavy velvet curtains shut against the chaotic courtyard. She was determined to shield him from the cruel, scrutinizing stares of the aristocracy. But Victoria would not be denied her spectacle. On the morning of the hunt, as a pack of baying foxhounds flooded the manicured lawns, Victoria and Sir William Dalby marched uninvited into the library. "There is the tragedy, Sir William," Victoria announced loudly, gesturing toward Henry with her riding crop. "Observe his wildness. He refuses to speak. His governess indulges him in savage hand-flapping rather than proper vocal training." Sir William, a man with cold, clinical eyes, stepped forward. A severe regression. "Mr. Alexander Graham Bell himself has warned us of this exact phenomenon. Sign language isolates these deaf mutes, breeding further feeble-mindedness. He must be removed from this enabler at once and placed in strict oral isolation." Genevieve placed herself firmly in front of Henry, her chest heaving with outrage. "You will not lay a finger on him. He is a brilliant, capable boy. Your methods are barbaric, and I will report you to the Duke." "The Duke?" Victoria laughed, a sharp, triumphant sound. "The Duke arrives within the hour, Miss Caldwell, and he has already signed the preliminary medical transfers. Sir William is taking the boy to London today." Genevieve's blood ran cold. Daniel had promised. The stable master had sworn Henry was safe. Had he lied? Was he utterly powerless against the Duke's legal decrees? Desperation clawed at her throat. She grabbed Henry's hand. "Run," she signed quickly against his palm. "To the stables! Find Daniel!" Henry understood the panic in her eyes. As Sir William lunged to grab the boy's collar, Genevieve shoved a heavy mahogany reading chair into the surgeon's path. Henry bolted through the French doors, sprinting across the terrace and down toward the stables, directly into the chaotic epicenter of the gathering hunting party. "Catch that boy!" Victoria shrieked, rushing out onto the terrace. Henry, terrified by the unfamiliar crowd, the thundering horses, and the snarling hounds, darted blindly through the courtyard. He could not hear the warning shouts of the groomsmen. He could not hear the frantic whinny of Lord Harrington's massive, spooked hunting stallion rearing up directly in his path. The massive hooves slashed through the air. Henry stood frozen in the horse's shadow. Genevieve screamed, sprinting across the lawn, but she was too far away. Suddenly, a figure in a heavy wool coat vaulted over the stone wall of the paddock. It was Daniel. He moved with terrifying speed and lethal precision. He did not cower like a servant. he did not hesitate. He threw himself between Henry and the rearing stallion, seizing the horse's bridle with one hand while shielding the boy with his own body. With a sharp, authoritative wrench that required immense physical strength, he forced the massive beast back onto its hooves. Silence crashed over the courtyard. The lords and ladies gasped. Daniel stood breathing heavily, his arm wrapped securely around a trembling Henry. He looked up, his gray eyes sweeping over the crowd with a dark, blazing fury. "Daniel," Genevieve cried out, breaking through the crowd and falling to her knees beside them. She grabbed Henry, her hands shaking as she signed. "Safe? Safe?" Henry nodded, burying his face in her shoulder. "You impudent fool of a stable hand," Lady Victoria screeched, marching down the grand stone steps, her face twisted in ugly rage. "You dare lay hands on Lord Harrington's mount? Guards, have this man whipped and thrown off the estate, and seize that wretched boy." Daniel slowly let go of the horse's bridle. He stood up to his full, towering height. He reached up and deliberately removed his battered flat cap, tossing it into the dirt. Next, he unbuttoned the cuffs of his worn leather work gloves, pulling them off finger by finger. As the right glove fell away, the morning sun caught the heavy, unmistakable gleam of a solid gold signet ring on his finger, the ancient, roaring lion crest of the House of Stirling. "You will speak to my brother with the respect his title demands, Lady Victoria," Daniel's voice boomed across the courtyard. It was no longer the quiet, gruff tone of a servant. It was the polished, lethal baritone of a reigning British peer. "And if you ever raise your voice to the woman protecting him again, I will personally ruin your family's name in every drawing room in London." A collective gasp echoed through the hunting party. Lords ripped their hats from their heads, bowing instantly. Lady Victoria turned the color of ash, the riding crop slipping from her trembling fingers. Genevieve remained on her knees in the dirt. She looked up at the man she had poured her heart out to, the man whose hands she had held in the dusty stables. He was not Daniel, the master of horse. He was Daniel Stirling, the Duke of Westmoreland. And he had lied to her from the very beginning. The grand study of Westmoreland Abbey, usually a sanctuary of silence, felt like a powder keg waiting to ignite. Daniel stood by the roaring fireplace, having shed his rough wool coat for a tailored silk waistcoat that screamed of unfathomable wealth. The transformation was jarring. The rugged, empathetic stable hand was gone, replaced by a formidable aristocrat dripping in power. Genevieve stood by the heavy oak doors, her posture rigid, her eyes blazing with a mixture of profound hurt and blistering anger. "3 weeks," Genevieve's voice trembled, slicing through the heavy silence. "For 3 weeks, you watched me. You stood in the shadows while I tore your character to shreds. You let me call you a coward to your face." "Genevieve, please." Daniel took a step forward, his aristocratic mask cracking, revealing the desperate man beneath. "Do not address me so informally, Your Grace," she snapped, the formal title dripping with venom. "You deceived me. You manipulated my trust. You watched me fight your battles for your brother, bleeding my heart dry, while you played dress-up in the dirt." Daniel ran a hand through his dark hair, a gesture of deep frustration. "I had to know. Do you have any idea what it is like to hold the absolute power over a child's life and know that every decision you make might destroy him? I hired 5 tutors before you. 2 of them struck him. 3 of them starved him when he wouldn't speak. Society, the doctors, the peers of the realm, they all told me he was broken." Daniel crossed the room, stopping just inches from her. His gray eyes were raw, pleading for her understanding. "I signed those preliminary papers for the Swiss asylum because the greatest medical minds in London, men like Sir William Dalby, convinced me it was the only humane option. I came to the Abbey in disguise to observe you because I trusted no one. Not my servants, not my peers, and certainly not another governess. I intended to fire you on the first day. And yet you stayed, Genevieve whispered, a tear finally betraying her and spilling over her lashes. You let me believe you were a man I could respect. I stayed because you showed me what courage looks like, Daniel said fiercely. He reached out, his fingers desperately hovering near her arms, though he did not dare touch her. You defied the Milan Conference. You defied the entirety of British high society. You brought my brother back to life, Genevieve. You gave him a voice when I was too blinded by my own cowardice to see that he already had one. He dropped his gaze, his broad shoulders slumping. You were right. I was a coward. I hid behind my title in London, and then I hid behind a stable hand's coat here. But I am not hiding anymore. Genevieve looked at the man she had undoubtedly fallen in love with. The revelation stung bitterly. She was a woman of fierce principles. She despised the hypocrisy of the aristocracy, and she despised liars even more. You may have found your courage, your grace, but you have lost my trust, Genevieve said, her voice dropping to a hollow whisper. I resign my position. Lord Henry knows enough of the manual alphabet to continue his studies. I will pack my things. Daniel's head snapped up, pure panic flashing in his eyes. No, you cannot leave. I forbid it. You do not own me, Duke of Westmoreland, she replied coldly. Your wealth can buy the silence of your peers, but it cannot buy my forgiveness. She turned and fled the study before he could see the sob that tore its way out of her throat. Upstairs, in her modest quarters, Genevieve mechanically packed her battered leather valise. Her heart felt as though it had been put through a vice. She had let herself dream of a life with a kind, working-class man who understood the language of silence. That man was a ghost. As she fastened the brass buckles of her bag, the door creaked open. Henry stood in the doorway. His eyes were red-rimmed and swollen. He looked at the suitcase on the bed, and his lower lip began to tremble. He raised his hands, his fingers moving frantically. You leave? Why? You bad? I bad? Genevieve's heart shattered. She fell to her knees, pulling the boy into a fierce embrace, burying her face in his shoulder as she finally allowed herself to weep. She pulled back and wiped her eyes, forcing a wobbly smile. She took his hands gently. You are good, perfect, she signed back, her hands shaking. The Duke is here now. He will protect you. I must go. Henry shook his head violently. He pointed to his chest, then to her, and signed the word she had taught him just yesterday. Family. Genevieve closed her eyes, the word twisting the knife deeper into her chest. She kissed his forehead. I am so sorry, my sweet boy, she whispered aloud, though she knew he couldn't hear. Carrying her valise, she walked down the grand, sweeping staircase. The abbey was deathly quiet. The hunting guests had retreated to their rooms, buzzing with the scandalous gossip of the Duke's revelation. A solitary carriage waited for her at the front doors, ordered by the stern housekeeper, Mrs. Gable. Genevieve climbed inside, refusing to look back at the grand Gothic silhouette of Westmoreland Abbey. She had lost her heart to an illusion, and she was leaving with nothing. The carriage rattled down the long, winding driveway of the estate, the iron gates looming in the distance. Genevieve stared blankly out the window, the Derbyshire countryside blurring through her tears. Suddenly, the carriage lurched violently. The horses whinnied in protest as the driver hauled back on the reins. Genevieve grabbed the leather strap to steady herself. What is it? What's happened? She called out to the driver. Road's blocked, miss, the driver shouted back. Genevieve pushed the carriage door open and stepped out onto the gravel, her breath caught in her throat. Blocking the iron gates was not a fallen tree or a broken wagon. It was a barricade of 20 mounted estate workers, groomsmen, stable hands, and groundskeepers. And at the center of them all, sitting atop the massive black stallion, was Daniel Sterling. He was not dressed as a duke. He wore the worn, dirt-stained wool coat, the flat cap, and the scuffed leather boots of Daniel, the master of horse. "Move your carriage aside, Your Grace," Genevieve demanded, though her voice wavered dangerously. "This is highly inappropriate." Daniel dismounted fluidly. He handed the reins to a nearby groomsman and walked slowly toward her. The estate workers parted for him in absolute silence. "I told you once, Miss Caldwell," Daniel said, his voice carrying clearly over the rustle of the autumn leaves, "that I see a great deal, and what I see now is a woman running away because she is afraid." "I am not afraid of anything," Genevieve shot back, her chin lifting defiantly. "You are afraid of me," Daniel corrected gently, stopping a few feet away from her. "You are afraid that the Duke of Westmoreland is incapable of loving you the way the stable hand did. You are afraid that this world of silk and gold will crush the fierce, beautiful fire inside you." Genevieve swallowed hard, fighting the tears welling in her eyes. "Your world is built on lies and cruelty. Lady Victoria..." "Lady Victoria's gone," Daniel interrupted, his voice hardening with absolute finality. "I formally banished her from Westmoreland lands not an hour ago. Furthermore, I have dismissed Sir William Dalby and permanently burned the medical transfer papers to Switzerland." Genevieve blinked, stunned by the sheer magnitude of his actions. In the rigidly structured aristocratic society, banishing the daughter of an earl was a scandalous declaration of war. Daniel reached into the deep pocket of his worn coat. He pulled out a crumpled piece of paper, one of the flashcards Genevieve had drawn for Henry. It was the card depicting the sign for family. "I have spent my entire life conforming to the expectations of dead men," Daniel said quietly, stepping closer. "I hid my brother because society demanded perfection. I hid myself because I wanted to feel what it was like to be judged by my character. Not my crest, but you. You stripped away all the artifice. You loved a boy the world threw away. And you challenged a man who thought he had nothing left to learn." He stopped directly in front of her. The setting sun cast long, golden shadows across his face, highlighting the raw vulnerability in his gray eyes. "I do not want to be the Duke without you, Genevieve," Daniel whispered, his voice cracking with emotion. "I will give up the title. I will give up the estate. I will be Daniel the Stable Hand for the rest of my days, if it means I can wake up and see that fire in your eyes." Genevieve stared at him, her heart pounding a frantic rhythm against her ribs. The anger, the betrayal, the fear, it all melted away under the crushing weight of his absolute sincerity. He was offering to burn his entire world to the ground for her. "You cannot give up your title," Genevieve said softly, a small, wet laugh escaping her lips. "Who would protect Henry from the dreadful Sir Williams of the world?" Daniel's eyes widened, a flicker of wild hope igniting in the depths of his irises. Before he could speak, a small figure pushed through the line of horses. It was Henry. He ran to Genevieve, throwing his arms around her waist. Genevieve knelt down, hugging him tightly. She looked up at Daniel. Daniel did not speak. Instead, he raised his hands. He looked at Genevieve, then at his brother, and with slow, deliberate, and perfectly practiced movements, he began to sign. He pointed to himself, then crossed his arms over his chest. "I love." He pointed to Henry. "You." Then he turned his gaze entirely to Genevieve, his eyes blazing with a devotion so profound it stole the breath from her lungs. He pointed to her. "You." He brought his hands together, interlocking his fingers, mimicking the sign Genevieve had taught Henry just hours before. "Family." Genevieve let out a choked sob. The Duke of Westmoreland, a man who possessed unimaginable wealth and political power, had spent hours in secret, practicing the language of his marginalized brother, just to speak to the woman he loved. She stood up, leaving her valise in the dust of the gravel road. She closed the final distance between them, reaching up to frame his aristocratic, tear-streaked face in her hands. "Daniel," she whispered against his lips. "Stay," he begged, wrapping his arms fiercely around her waist, pulling her flush against his chest. "Marry me, Genevieve. Teach me how to be the man you deserve. Teach me how to break the silence." "I will," she breathed, just before his lips crashed down on hers. The kiss was desperate, consuming, and fiercely protective. It tasted of salt and the crisp autumn wind. Around them, the barricade of estate workers erupted into cheers, completely ignoring the scandalous impropriety of a duke kissing a governess in the middle of a dirt road. Henry stood beside them, looking at his brother and his teacher. For the first time in his silent life, he did not feel broken. He felt whole. Genevieve Caldwell had arrived at Westmoreland Abbey with a battered valise and a radical ideology. She had faced down the cruelty of the British aristocracy and refused to blink. In doing so, she had not only given a voice to a silent boy, but she had captured the heart of a disguised duke, forging a legacy of love that would echo through the halls of Westmoreland forever. Did Genevieve's fiery defiance against Victorian high society leave you completely breathless? This untold story proves that true power isn't found in a royal crest, but in the courage to speak up for those who cannot. If you love this dramatic historical romance, hit that like button right now. Don't forget to share this incredible tale of hidden identities with your friends and subscribe to our channel for more real-life inspired dramas and epic historical love stories.